Dick Cheney's memoir, In My Time, offers a rare window into nearly five decades of American power politics through the eyes of the only person to serve as White House Chief of Staff, House Republican Whip, Secretary of Defense, and Vice President. From his Wyoming roots to the highest echelons of government, Cheney's story is one of remarkable influence and controversial decision-making. While some view him as a patriotic guardian who kept America safe after 9/11, others see him as the architect of policies that compromised American values. What's undeniable is that few modern figures have shaped American policy so profoundly across so many decades, making his personal account an essential historical document regardless of where you stand politically. Born to New Deal Democrats in 1941, Cheney's character was forged in Wyoming's rugged landscape, where his family moved when he was 13. In Casper, our house sat on the eastern edge of town, with the prairie stretching beyond, he writes. What might have seemed barren landscape to others was alive with grasses, sagebrush, scrub pine, antelope, deer, rabbits, and occasional rattlesnakes. This environment instilled both self-reliance and a love for the outdoors that would remain throughout his life. His path wasn't always upward. After dropping out of Yale and accumulating two DUI arrests as a power lineman, Cheney found himself in a Wyoming jail cell while former classmates graduated from prestigious universities. This wake-up call led him to the University of Wyoming, where he excelled before entering politics. His Washington career began in 1969 when Donald Rumsfeld, then heading Nixon's Office of Economic Opportunity, told him, You're congressional relations. Now get the hell out of here. This blunt job offer launched a 40-year journey through the corridors of American power. At just 34, Cheney became the youngest White House Chief of Staff in history under President Gerald Ford. This experience provided a masterclass in crisis management, from 12% inflation to the fall of Vietnam and the Mayaguez incident. In the White House, the top staff person is still staff, Cheney notes. I declined Ford's offer to attach cabinet status to my job and initially tried to decline having a White House car and driver, preferring my VW Beetle. The 1976 campaign brought Cheney to the center of Ford's effort to win a full term. Despite nearly catching Jimmy Carter in one of America's closest elections, they lost. Cheney recalls watching the ceremonial transfer of power on Inauguration Day, including the passing of the nuclear football, a sobering reminder of the stakes in American politics. After returning to Wyoming and winning the state's lone congressional seat in 1978, despite suffering his first heart attack during the campaign, Cheney rose quickly through Republican ranks. Rather than concealing his health crisis, he wrote to every registered Republican in Wyoming explaining his situation, a personal touch that helped him win despite his 12-year absence from the state. By 1989, Cheney had become Secretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush, overseeing the world's most powerful military during the Cold War's end and the First Gulf War. His appointment of Colin Powell as chairman of the Joint Chiefs proved vital, as did his early assertion of civilian control when he publicly rebuked Air Force Chief Larry Welch for unauthorized comments on missile systems. When Iraq invaded Kuwait in August 1990, Cheney flew to Saudi Arabia and convinced King Fahd to allow American troops on Saudi soil by presenting satellite imagery of Iraqi forces near the Saudi border. The king's simple, okay, was a diplomatic breakthrough that enabled Desert Storm. After the Clinton administration took office, Cheney built a successful corporate career, eventually becoming Halliburton's CEO, where he doubled company revenue from $5.7 billion to $12.6 billion. His return to politics came when George W. Bush asked him to lead the search for a vice presidential candidate in 2000, only to conclude, "Dick, you're the solution to my problem." The 2000 election culminated in an unprecedented 36-day Florida recount battle. When the Supreme Court ruled in Bush v. Gore, stopping the recount with Bush ahead by 537 votes, Cheney watched the decision alone in his kitchen. As vice president-elect, he immediately began assembling the cabinet, leveraging his extensive network of Republican policy veterans. Everything changed on September 11, 2001. Cheney was in his White House office when Secret Service agents rushed him to the Presidential Emergency Operations Center beneath the White House. From this Cold War-era bunker, he coordinated with military commanders while President Bush was airborne on Air Force One. When reports arrived of additional hijacked aircraft heading toward Washington, Cheney answered without hesitation when asked if Combat Air Patrol had authority to shoot down hijacked planes. Yes. The enormity of this order struck everyone in the room. Though ultimately unnecessary, as the remaining flights crashed before reaching their targets, this decision demonstrated the grave responsibilities thrust upon leadership that day. The attacks transformed Cheney into a key architect of the war on terror. "We needed a new strategy based on recognizing we were at war," he writes, "one requiring us to pursue terrorists where they lived and hold their supporters accountable." This doctrine shaped American foreign policy for years, leading to military interventions in Afghanistan and Iraq and fundamentally changing how the United States approached national security. Cheney's advocacy for enhanced interrogation, expanded executive power, and preventive war continues to spark debate about security versus liberty. He points to the absence of subsequent attacks as vindication, while critics argue these policies compromised American values and international standing. After leaving office in 2009, Cheney became an outspoken critic of Obama's national security policies. Despite requiring a heart pump in 2010, he continued defending post-9/11 decisions. His memoir concludes by affirming America's exceptional role. "We've stood firm against evil and sought freedom for others rather than empire. The key is choosing serious, vigilant leaders who have the country's larger cause in mind rather than those offering pleasing promises. Though imperfect, America's founding ideals have unleashed human potential in unprecedented ways." Whether viewed as a patriot who kept America safe or an official who overreached, Cheney's influence is undeniable. His memoir reveals a man of deep conviction who believed extraordinary times required extraordinary measures. The policies he championed continue to shape our world today. The most striking aspect of Cheney's account is how quickly American life transformed after 9/11. Through his eyes, we witness not just government decision-making, but the profound weight of leadership during crisis. His story reminds us that history is made when individuals facing incomplete information must act decisively with the nation's future at stake.